a woman, take my hand. We'll make a space in the lives that we'd planned. And here we'll stay until it's time for you to go. Yes, we're different, worlds apart, we're not the same. We laughed and played at the start, like in a game. You could have stayed outside my heart, but in you came. And here you'll stay until it's time for you to go. Don't ask.
Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded and current lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. That was Buffy St. Marie, Until It's Time For You To Go. My name's Tiana Carpenter. I'm Anishinaabe from Wabasmung First Nation, and happy to have you guys today.
Hi, I'm Sage. I'm mixed ancestry with Saw Ridge Cree from Treaty 6 in Edmonton. Saw Ridge Cree, like I said. Oof, my brain is brutal today. And then mixed European ancestry as well. And I'm happy to be back with the crew.
I'm Shelby Linsoni. I am Anishinaabe and Mohawk from Bekejenong Unceded Territory in Southern Ontario. And I'm super excited to be on my second episode.
Yay. Hello, my name is Sabrina. I am Plains Cree from Treaty 4 territory in rural Saskatchewan.
So how are we today? It's that time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell by the fact that I can't speak that I am feeling a bit brutal today. I had an 8:30 a.m. exam. Ooh. Yeah, she hits different. Yeah, a long day, but a long day of doing cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's kind of fair to say that like end of term has like fried the brains of like everyone in this room, so just keeping it chill tonight, you know.
Yeah, I'm in the same exact spot. I'm getting to the end and I'm almost there and it's exciting, but I'm tired.
Just like ready for it to be done. It's going to feel so good once it is, yes. But like we're just at that cusp of it finally being mm-hmm. over. So yeah.
We're crawling. Yeah, crawling to the finish line right now.
But we're thriving.
We're thriving, yes, yeah.
Right
thriving,
now, I feel always. Like in this moment, I'm so tired, but I'm like to the point where I'm just like hyped. Like, yeah, let's go. All night again? Sure.
Guess what time I went to bed last night? 6 a.m.
That is, you can't be doing that. You cannot be doing that.
You can't say you went to bed last night when you went to bed at 6 a.m.
Our last episode was all about wellness. You Ooh. Clearly didn't listen to it. You're not taking our advice. I will always sacrifice studying to sleep. Mm. There reaches a point where I'm like, it's over. Yeah. We're done. I'm going to bed. I'm going to wake up and make myself breakfast.
We're restating that your wellness is more important than your grades at the end of the day, all right?
But there are some factors that you just don't have control over. Like last mm-hmm. night, so I had 8:30 a.m. exam. I went to bed early. I was so ready. And my upstairs neighbors, my theory is that they were either bowling or weightlifting because at 3 a.m. they just started dropping very heavy objects. And that was out of my control.
Yeah. Sometimes your upstairs people just have to bowl. Sometimes you got to.
Don't you just hate it when you suddenly have to bowl at 3 a.m.? It's brutal.
They're the worst.
Love that for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the support.
So since it's like end of term, I don't know what about you guys, but what's carrying me through is that I'm going home.
Yeah.
Very soon. In mm-hmm. a week. So.
Yeah. That's the only thing that is getting me through is the idea of seeing my nieces and nephew and my mom and cooking, not having to cook for myself and her feeding me all the time. And I'm excited. I cannot wait to be home. There's no snow, unfortunately, but that's fine.
I mean, I can't say the same. I'm heading back to Saskatchewan, where I know there's, like, a lot of snow. And, like, I never thought I would say this as someone who hates winter, but I am so looking forward to, like, getting off the plane and just seeing, like, white snow everywhere. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm a first year, so this is, like, my first time being away from home for this long. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely looking forward to, like, going home and getting away from dining hall food. Like, I'm so excited. I already told my mom, I'm like, my first meal, I want it to be, like, I want it to be herb attic, and I want it to be, like, hamburger soup. Like, that is what I need right now. And, like, that idea of that meal, I'm just like, I can get through finals. I'm like, if I can get through finals and that's at the finish line, then heck yeah.
That mom food be hitting different.
Oh, yeah.
When you haven't had it for a while.
It's like 5-star restaurant might as well be at this point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, food. Sorry, I totally just blanked out. I was like, where am I?
Home.
I wish. I don't think I have that much snow, which is weird because we usually have, I'm from Northwestern Ontario, so usually we have snow. But I've been seeing all these cool pictures, everybody at home. All the lakes are frozen, but there's no snow. So it's, like, these vast, big hockey rinks, and it's, like, of course, a hockey town. So everybody's, like, skating, playing hockey on these, like, lakes. I'm like, yeah, I want that at sunset. It's beautiful. Picturesque.
So I grew up on Vancouver Island in Coast Salish territory, but my family is obviously from Edmonton. So I'm, like, raised BC gal, so I'm a wimp. I don't like the snow. But I always go home during the winter to see my family. So I'm not looking forward to the snow, but I am, yes, food, but more so than anything, I am craving some wisdom. And I have some pretty rad aunties that I have been, like, saving up thoughts, feelings, and queries for. I texted both of my aunties, and I was like, so just so you know, I'm coming home for a week, and I would really like to just have some auntie time. And one of my aunties, in addition to being very wise and wonderful, is also very talented jewelry maker. And I was like, I mean, if you can fit in some beading, I really would appreciate it. So I am, yeah, very excited to feed my soul.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Like, one of the great things, too, is, like, my mother, she's 44, but this year she went back to university. I'm so proud of her. Shout out to my mom. So she went back to university. It was really great because she was only taking one class. She was doing Indigenous studies, and we were reading out of, like, the same textbook. So, like, I'm really excited to, like, go home and, like, sit down and have some discussions with her. I think it'd be really great, like, just seeing, like, what she's learned and what I've learned out here. And, like, that's going to be really awesome. I feel like I can learn a lot from my mom just with, like, her age and now incorporating, like, her new knowledge into that. I'm like, I'm really excited for that. I can't wait.
That's so amazing that your mom did that, because my mom also just decided to go back to school this past year. Yeah, she's been working in a childcare center for, like, my entire life, and now she's finally getting her ECE. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that. I'm so excited.
What's an ECE? I'm sorry.
Early childhood education. Yeah, so she's been saying that she wanted to go back and get that for years. So, like, when I went back over Thanksgiving, we just had, like, conversations about everything she was learning, and it was so, like, it was just so pure. She was, like, telling me everything that she was learning, and, like, we had discussions, and I was like, oh, I miss my mom now.
See, I want that.
Yeah.
This is just to me, like, I miss my mom so much. But it's honestly, it's going to be really great, and I can't wait to, like, have those discussions that, you know, transfer, like, what I've been, like, learning in school and taking it back home and, like, making it something personal.
Yeah. Love that.
For me, I'm just really excited to go hang out with my sister. She's 17 and probably the coolest person I know.
Big fan of her. Never met her.
Huge fan. I keep telling her she needs to come out here. So we're just gonna hang out, just probably harass all of our other family in the house. That's generally what we do. They always get really annoyed by us, but that's their problem, not mine.
And know, I have a big family. I have 4 siblings, but I'm best friends with my older sister, and I have not seen her since August. Aww. And, like, I cannot wait to see her over Christmas. I know I'm going to see her. It's going to be great. We're going to have our moment, and then we're immediately going to become, like, super annoying. I don't know what it is, but when I'm around, like, other Indigenous people, especially, like, my cousins or my sister, we just, like, cackle. Like, we're very loud when we laugh. It drives my dad insane. So, like, I'm ready to, like, just, like, laugh like no tomorrow with my sister, because I feel like I can really only do that with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister is, she's my closest in age sister. She is pregnant right now with her first baby, and I'm so excited because, like, it's different when it's, like, your closest sibling having a baby, because they're, like, I grew up with that girl. Like, she used to bully me, and now she's gonna be a mom.
I grew up with that girl.
Yeah.
I know her.
So, yeah. But let's talk about babies and how excited.
Whoa, let's not talk about babies.
No. my nieces. Oh my god, I'm like, they are like my number one, like, inspiration, and I just miss them so much. I'm like, when I get home, the first thing I'm doing, I don't care if I'm home at 11, is I'm gonna go get those babies. I am seeing them that night.
Gonna get the babies.
Yes.
It makes me, like, that's, like, one of the nice things about being, like, the youngest in the room is, like, I get to hear all y'all talk about this kind of stuff. I'm like, I can't wait to have that experience, because, like, I personally don't plan on having kids, but, like, I am so ready to be, like, the coolest auntie ever. Like, just show up and be like, hello to all my little nieces and nephews. I am your favorite. Like, yes. I want to be that aunt.
Wise, cool aunt. That's my MO for sure.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, as always, I think music is very important during this time of year. Last episode, I talked about how I always listen to Tribe Called Red.
Shout out to Native Puppy Love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. That's my pre-exam ritual. Just going for it. Did it this morning at 8:30 a.m. So yes. That was pretty sweet. I only lasted a little bit with the Tribe Called Red because it was 8:30 a.m. So I was like, yeah. And then, weirdly enough, Dixie Chicks was the go-to after that. There was no real connection there. Just sort of needed wide open spaces. I have no explanation. But music, as always, very important. Gets me through the exam season. What are we listening to now?
Soft Stud by Black Belt Eagle Scout.
And who are they?
They are queer, Indigenous, brilliant.
That's all you need
human
to know.
Being.
Word.
Surprises in the night, won't you have your way? Open up the door, I see, I know you're taken. What is it to you? Habits just don't fade. Open overcrowded love, I know you're taken. I know you're taken.
welcome back. That was Black Belt Eagle Scout, whose actual name is Catherine Paul. They're from the Swinomish Indian Reservation, and that was so rad. Let's talk about that music.
I'm a sucker for a good bass line.
Yes.
nothing but love for a good bass line and like a good heavy drum that was got some angsty vibes. Loved that. Mm-hmm. Loved that.
Love the angst.
Love the angst.
I was saying it, like, it makes me feel like I'm in some kind of, like, teen angsty movie. Like, I am that girl. I want a girlfriend. It's
just like, oh, yeah.
Who doesn't want a soft stud, though?
Yeah.
Okay, but we need the movie. We need a movie, and that's going to be, like, the song. You know
a
the
queer
song.
Indigenous movie.
Yes.
Queer angsty. Female indigenous movie.
Yes. Oh, my God. Someone write this.
Yeah.
Still has to end with Mommy's Little Guy, though.
Yes.
Oh, always. Yeah. Always. Mandated all movies must now end. Mommy's Little Guy by Fawn Wood. Wow. Okay. This is officially added to my winter playlist. Yeah, angsty playlist. We were talking while the song was going on about it's the time of yearning, yearning for home, yearning for a soft stud. Who knows? I love a little bit of queer angst.
Yes.
All right, ladies.
Well, since we're on the topic, let's talk gay.
I'm there.
We're always ready.
Always there. Actually, being that we spend a lot of time together, we go to a few events around the Cité in Vancouver, and there's a lot of cool events, Indigenous events and queer events and queer Indigenous events. I know you guys have been to a couple, but the one that we most recently went to was F Your Pipeline, and it was a fundraiser for various bands' lawsuits against the pipeline, and overall just sort of
a gathering space,
a variety show of sorts. Mm-hmm. It was like mainly drag, but lots going on.
There was comedy,
burlesque.
There was burlesque,
poetry,
there was a roast, there was
roast.
There was everything.
Improv.
Yeah.
Dance.
Yes.
Oh. Unreal.
Unreal.
Bo Dip. Unreal.
We love you. Listen, I wasn't there, but like y'all are really selling it for me. I'm like, yes. I'm like, poetry, roast, like
everything.
I'm loving it.
It covered all bases, and it was like, it was just so like, it would move from like each different act so like seamlessly, and it just like put it all into this one like show that was so like, oh, it was just good energy in there, good vibes, loved it.
We loved it. Yeah. There was a lot of good moments that just you wouldn't see anywhere else. Like, it was so specific.
Yeah.
Which was really appreciated.
Yeah.
I think very special.
I think I just really love that the, like, gay community, the queer community gets together for so many different, like, causes nowadays. Like, that's such a, like, I just love that we gather and we're like, this is important. Let's do something about it. Let's gather. Let's have fun. Let's spread the awareness.
And in a way that, like, celebrates queerness in and of itself.
Exactly. It's just, sweet. It's just,
love the community. We're great.
We are. Let's give ourselves a pat on the back, everyone.
Doing good things.
There's just, like, I think there's so much community just, like, already built within like the queer community. Like, I feel like when I meet someone and like they tell me they're queer, I'm just like, yes, like already we have this connection, we know how it is. So like I feel like it's just so easy to like have these gatherings where you're like, yeah, you can really feel the vibe, like you're really vibing in them. It's great.
Yeah
I had a great time. I don't know about you, but I love like not like throwing money and mean at people, just like throwing like drag dollars, like making it rain. It's a vibe, it's a feeling, and you're like, wow, that was amazing. Take all my money. I don't have a lot, but I'll give it to you.
I feel like it's such a good way to like support the performers and the artists and everyone who's doing that, and it's like, it's fun for the audience too. You get up there and they're like, they walk around, you're like, oh yeah, like let me make it rain real
when
quick.
When they were like standing on tables, like all the performers, I was like, oh my God, yes.
Take all my money.
My favorite was, so we were all sitting at the same table because we like each other.
And well.
That's another day. But we were all watching this one, like, these three white people. They came in. Y'all know them. They came in. I don't know if they knew this was happening. And then they're like, ooh, we already, like, kind of paid cover to be here. So then they kind of, like, nervously sat down. And then, what was the performer? I forget her actual name, but it was Sparkle.
Sang
the Colonizer song.
Yes.
Iconic.
Yes.
And their faces, like, they're like, should we leave? Do we give them our money? Like, they had a whole crisis, and we're just like, yes, I'm here for this. This is a great time.
They left an intermission.
They did.
They did, yeah.
They were not shocked after the intermission, but yeah, they definitely did leave, but that's okay. I did see one of them giving money, so.
So, yeah. We'll let it slide.
A moment. A moment. I mean, things are bound to be uncomfortable, so.
For them, yeah.
Oh, I was thriving.
It's important to sometimes make some people uncomfortable. I feel like that sparks conversations and stuff, and we were supposed to be having conversations, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully they learned something.
I think a lot of good art makes you uncomfortable. I know that I often learn things.
Yeah.
When I'm uncomfortable, because I'm like, oh, what is it that is making me uncomfortable? Like, what about me or what I've experienced or sort of how I learn or operate in the world is making me feel this way?
I think, like, especially if, like, you're a person of privilege, like, it's really easy to be, like, blind to it if you stay in your little bubble where, like, it's just normalized. So, like, when you're in a situation that's, like, forcing you to be uncomfortable, it's just, like, okay, like, you're only going to feel called out by something if you need to be called out by it, right? Ooh. So, like, so when you sit there, like, it's just, like, eventually, like, it's, like, you have to kind of do a little bit of self-reflection. Like, it's not to say, like, I'm, like, this perfect person. I'm like, I've never felt called out. Like, it happens to all of us. So, like, I think, like, that's where you find the most growth is, like, when you really force yourself, either accidentally, like, them, or, like, on purpose to, like, push the boundaries and, like, what you know.
Damn.
You know?
Mic drop.
And on that note, we're going to hear a PSA on why you should volunteer for art.
Love that.
Oh my lord, I need a creative outlet. How on earth can I channel everything that's inside of me?
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
Pardon me?
Yeah, you can illustrate for Discorder magazine or take photographs of events and artists, and they can teach you how to use Photoshop in their media lab.
That is so exhilarating. It fills my soul with lightning.
Yeah, just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay, so we're back. Also on the topic of art, if you don't already know, Nihiyawak is playing a show tonight at 7:30. So you have time to listen to the show and make it over to the MOA where it's happening. This band is from Treaty 6 in Edmonton as well. Represent, also Cree, represent. And I had the privilege to interview them last night. In a state, because I was coming off of studying and had no idea what I was doing with the technical aspects of it, but we fake it, we make it, it's cool. But really, really sweet opportunity to talk to these guys and just to hear, like, Indigenous artists so wise, so intelligent, and talking about art and Indigeneity in a way that is, like, productive and able to have a conversation both sort of looking forward and also looking back. So I have some audio from the interview from last night. It's real rough. I'm going to be honest. I think that I can be honest with everyone here and those listening. But I think you'll get the basic gist of it. So I'm sorry if there are some blips in the audio. I did edit it today. But yeah, so I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hello. I'm Chris Harper. I sing and play guitar in the band Nehiwok.
Anse, my name is Merrick Tyler. I am Cree Scottish, Nehiw Scottish Irish from Saskatchewan. My mom is Linda Young from Onion Lake First Nation. My father is Rod Tyler from Regina, Saskatchewan. I am Chris's cousin and Matthew's friend, and I play drums in Nehiwok.
I'm Matthew Cardinal. I'm from Big Bay up in Alberta, and I play bass and synthesizers in Nehiwok.
Can you guys give us a little bit of a insight as to how this band came to be? Because you've all been musicians for few to many years before this.
Okay. So like around 2013 or so, 2012, I had started going to some, I don't know, more talks. I was in university as well at the time, studying what I thought to be education. I came upon all this ideology and was really already playing music in other bands and things like this, and really thought that there is such a lack of that language in music. And that was around the time that Matthew and I started a conversation about this, about doing a band that had a, kind of a different worldview, a different purpose. And then Merrick and I, being cousins, met at an Easter, I believe, dinner, and with all the family there and all the kids, and it was like hilarious. We met and we hung out, and we decided that we were gonna try some of the songs I'd been working on, and invited Matthew over immediately. That's it. And recorded an album, and now we're here.
Well, when I moved back to Edmonton, I was excited to be home. And to be amongst family and friends, old family and old friends. And when I heard Chris's songs, I felt something immediate about them. It felt like a perspective that was my perspective and a perspective that I hadn't heard before. And I got excited about playing music again.
Matthew, you're not related to the cousins. How did you find your way into the band?
Just from the music scene, I guess, from seeing Chris play and like with other groups and like being on the same bills over the years in Edmonton, and that's how we met.
I just want to know sort of how we talked about this first album being released with Arts and Crafts, a really big Canadian label, but what does that sort of mean to you and where Canadian music is going?
That's a lot of questions. You're determining countries and borders that certain people have agreed to that certain people haven't. You're talking about language, and the thing is, there's a lot of people at this table who aren't speaking, and we're alive, we're speaking, and that's just kind of it. And it's cool that Arts and Crafts is helping us put it out. And it's cool that people are hearing it and talking about it, but it obviously goes deeper than what we're doing.
I ask that question because Unseated this year, our focus is Indigenous futurisms. So we've talked a lot about sort of that tension between giving space and getting recognized from above. Sort of a follow-up question, or maybe where we could take the conversation now, is where do you see, or what are your hopes for Indigenous musicians? Like,
it's definitely it's the difference between binary code, ones and zeros, and a multi-layered universe. I mean, it's so many perspectives. You can't tell someone what truth sounds like, or what it's going to be in the future, but. But I think that Indigenous voices, on a lot of levels, on recognition of historical inaccuracies, on recognition of these things called borders, and this is all like, and water, really, what we're doing. These are all huge questions, and we're just musicians, you know, playing music, and yeah.
I hope that that we recognize the people who have done the work before us. There's Buffy, obviously, who has held this space for so long and held it in such a good way and has afforded this environment, this room, this space to work within. And she did that, you know, maybe on her own, you know. So we have a lot of responsibility in holding that space as well, and allowing the next generation's generation to occupy that space in a good, safe place, and to be available to them, so that we hear them.
I would like to see Indigenous music grow. I think it is growing. I think it will be continue to be, you know, more of a thing. I think there's a lot of talk in the industry right now about Indigenous music, and how you can't really say Indigenous music is a genre because it's not a genre. It's not self-contained. It's so many different things. So I hope it keeps growing and people just stop calling it Indigenous music and just call it music.
Really, in the grand scheme of things, it is about these voices, right? And, you know, Merrick mentioned Buffy St. Marie. Definitely you could mention Charlie Parker. You could mention Winoni Harris. You could mention Mary Lou Williams. You could mention all these people that are creating music and have been, from the beginning, influencing all kinds of things, swing, bebop, everything. But in reality, it's just... it's an old language. It's an old bit of truth, and it really is tied to the land. It's tied to water, and
water obviously a huge theme throughout the whole album, bookended by the North Saskatchewan River. I'd love to hear what the connection is there.
So I think, like, the album is called Nipi, and when I asked my mom about using that word Nipi, she said, "Make sure you know how to say it and know what it means." So there is a lot of reflection involved there about what does water mean to me. It means for me, there's a real sense of belonging with these two other musicians. There's a cohesiveness that we find when we're playing, and there's not much more. Water really does reflect that feeling. There's movement to it. It is at its most stable, at its lowest point. It is in two places at once, and there's something very special about that. And then I think about community. There's more than 50 communities across Canada that have boil water warnings. That breaks my heart. You know, something so sacred is not available to us, to our community. You know, so there's teachings there. And so there is a very special place for that word in our language, in our ways of knowing and being, and the community that we surround ourselves with.
Well, that's kind of where we are, right? Miskwichi, sometimes referred to as Beaver Hills in English. It's got this amazing river running through it, the Kisiskatchewan Atsipi. And yeah, it's something that we thought, well, initially we had been kind of given some lessons into what that word meant. And some of the loose meanings referred to the speed of it and how it was kind of, it floated at a pace that you walked. So Merrick and I blind tested the river to see, like, how fast is that? Like BPMs. And we each came to 90. So then we were like, and it was a spring, I guess. So, you know, but regardless, it was like pretty bang on. So we were like, okay, well, we should probably make some instrumental tracks that really just could allow someone to walk with that water, whether they're there or not. It's location to where we are, in the earth. And yeah, it's just kind of like, again, it's just going back to the heart of the question. And we can, you know, it can get evasive at times if we're talking or playing instruments and singing along, in what we're saying, but back at the heart of it, we're talking about things like water, language that was taken away, perspectives that were hushed.
What I love about that opening track is the feeling of Matthew's synth part. When Matthew came to play with us the first time, Chris and I were, you know, Chris had showed the song and I was playing apart. And then Matthew came in, and for me, he just settled. He just kind of bridged the gap a bit. He settled it and really gave it some momentum. So when I hear those tracks back, the opening and closing tracks, I hear Matthew's synths. And I love what they do. There's a very layered sound to them. And going back to the teachings that we are given about the meaning behind the temple of the river, or the word, there's some layered histories in that valley. And so it kind of hits me on a bunch of different levels that way. When I think about Amaskwitsi, I think about that river and, you know, walking along.
Often there's a lot of weight put on the way that indigeneity is framed, and there's a huge emphasis on sort of what you're doing to be kind of fighting against that. And we often talk on Unseated about how there isn't enough conversation about what is healing and resurgent and calm for us. And I think water does that. But was there a song in particular that the themes or the music or whichever sort of healed you or was the most healing to write?
I think all of that creative environment stuff is really, can be really healing in the sense that, and you're dedicating your time to try to recreate those sounds and those feelings it's so complex.
When I'm playing live, I try to recreate those feelings that you had when you first learned the song, and so sometimes it gets a bit raw, and we have to manage ourselves in a good way so that we can, you know, be there for the song, but also be there for ourselves. Yes, it can be heavy, but it's also very empowering to kick open the door and say, you know, on our terms. It's empowering to navigate that intersection. And we have to, and I'm trying to be aware of, you know, how we conduct ourselves so that we do this in a good way. There is a lot of pressure, but my mom always says your protocols will protect you. And for me, that I rely a lot on her and those teachings so that when those raw emotions come out in the songs that Chris has written and the lyrics that he's presented, that our culture is there for us, our protocols are there for us. And so that we take care of ourselves.
You mentioned you're just here for a couple of days playing one show here. Are you playing a show in Victoria as well? Cool. Lucky Bar. Oh, the Lucky Bar. I'm familiar. The one bar in Victoria. Yeah. What can listeners expect?
Us playing music. I don't know how to answer this without sounding like a smartass.
What is different for you about playing a live show?
I think, well, one, there's an audience. So making the connection with the people in the room, so we're all in there together. And then two is us playing together so that we make a connection on stage and just keeping an eye out for each other. And then three, like obviously making sure the song is, you know, being there for the song.
I'm usually trying to pretend no one's there.
So now we're going to hear the last track of the album Nipi by the Nihiwak.
Thank you.
Okay, thoughts, comments, questions, concerns?
That interview was beautiful. It just, anytime you hear like Indigenous people talking, it just warms the heart. Yeah.
Especially when it's about something they're very passionate about.
Yeah.
You can just feel it. Like their words, everything mm-hmm. is just like flowing through them. And wow. Like them talking the process of their art, like when they're talking about pacing it to the river, like when you're like, wow,
mm-hmm.
so layered, so intricate. And like, I mean, they're brilliant. So I'm like, not surprised. It's just amazing to be mm-hmm. a part of that, especially like when they're talking about, you know, their own teachings and their own protocols that they're like putting into this work that we're getting to listen to. It's really mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah, just that one thing that they said, your protocols will protect you.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Mom with the best wisdom.
Always.
It's so good. That was just, that's going to be my new motto for going into this new year. Your protocols will protect you. Love it.
There's so many things, like, when they're talking about linking it back to water and, like, mm-hmm. how sacred water is, there's so many things about water that literally just has me, like, speechless. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to articulate that yet. So, I mean, hit me within maybe a couple of years. We'll know. But, yeah, it's just, like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, just listening to them talk, I was like, wow, there's so much in this album and in this music and in the sound that the listener won't ever fully understand.
Yeah.
But you get like the sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like hearing them talk about how like they were so wise in the way we're talking about, like how their teachings were really involved and they were talking cross-generationally and talking about Buffy St. Marie, like acknowledging those who had come before and sort of like already carved space. Just like really well thought out and like intelligent mm-hmm. approaches to the craft and the art that they were doing, like really not just sort of like throwing music out there, but just everything was so gentle and mm-hmm. thought out. And yeah,
I think that's their sound, like that is what the sound
totally.
Is to me. It's so layered, there's so many things you kind of have to like listen to each song, like you listen, it's like you listen to the song and you can listen to like it again at any point and you'll find something new in it
mm-hmm.
or it'll give you a new feeling. And that's just like so amazing to me that you can create these different worlds and space that you're just feeling so many different things and it's the same song, but it isn't the same song.
Mm-hmm. There's that portion where America's talking about Matthew's synth in the water tracks. Like the two like mm-hmm. bookendy ones, which were played at the beginning of both interviews. I should have said that, or the beginning and the end of the interview, just like the album. But about how the synth really like brings it forward, because there's something like otherworldly and like ephemeral about that sound. So sweet. Yeah. He also plays the bass, which we all know I love. And they've got really good bass lines also, which I love. And there's a couple tracks where the drums are really good, and then there's also like the old school drums, like the good drums.
Yeah.
And you can hear that as well. Just like so well done.
It'll be cool live.
Yeah.
So cool live.
So cool live, which we are going to go check out right after we're done chatting. So you still have time to make it over there. I think the first set goes on at 7:30 at the MOA. Tickets, I think, are 10, 15?
Yeah.
15, I think.
15. But a pretty cool sound, for sure. Yeah. Otherwise, check them out on Spotify. Nahiyawak, their debut album, Nipi? Yeah. Water is available on Spotify, Bandcamp, the whole nine. They're pretty sweet. There's also a couple of good live recordings on YouTube. So if you can't make it to the show, you can check that out tonight. Yeah. Also, we should address the fact that we probably won't have a show until the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh. So we hope you are getting to go home, spend some time with those you love, those who cook good food, give you lots of wisdom.
The food.
Good food.
Yes.
have some time to listen to some good music.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself.
It's a hard season too, so
yeah.
Definitely take care.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. But yeah, thank you for listening, as always. We're going to go check out some sweet live music.
Woohoo.
And we will see you in 2020, which is crazy.
Happy new year. Happy new decade.
See you next year.
Wild. Good things. Good things on the horizon.
Very good.
I don't know. All right. As always, thank you. See you next year.
See you.
Bye. Thank you.